All right, there we go.
Our text will be taken from Psalm 4, verses 1 through 8, again this week. So if you could find the book of Psalms in the Old Testament, it's probably one of the more familiar books in the Old Testament. Very lengthy book, but the psalm that we're looking at is a fairly short one, comparatively, it's a fairly short psalm. So I want to read all 8 verses again, and then we want to extract a little bit more this week, and then hopefully we'll finish next week. So if you're physically able to stand, let's just honor God together while I read these 8 verses, and then seek God's help to extract a lesson or two for us today. Verse 1, answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. Verse 2, O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your hearts on your beds and be silent, Selah. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Amen. Lord, we find ourselves just immensely grateful to you today. You have done for us what no one else can. You brought us through another week of danger seen and unseen. Another week of uncertainty for many. Another week of tests and trials and difficulties. You brought us to another Lord's Day and proved to us that you are faithful from one Lord's Day to the next. Yes. And so we gather here today, Lord, to give you thanks. Yes. Because you alone have brought us through it all. You are worthy of our praise, worthy of our honor, worthy now for us to love you. So meet us now in the Spirit. Teach us in the Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and visit us as we attempt to learn from what you have preserved. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, God bless you, and for a second time, we're visiting this subject matter, when trouble follows you to the bedroom. When trouble follows you to the bedroom. You might remember from last week, we established that this is a nighttime psalm, right?
Amen.
About nighttime struggles, the kind of struggles that happen with believers when we're trying to sleep. So, a nighttime psalm. The night, you might remember from last week, you know it from your own practical experience, the night is typically the time for resting.
Yes.
It's typically the time to get restoration and to sleep. But what we find is trouble is no respecter of the time frame.
Amen.
Trouble doesn't respect the fact that you're trying to sleep. Trouble doesn't respect the fact that you that you need restoration, that you need recovery. Trouble doesn't respect anything that you might consider to be weakness on your part. It's invasive, and it's it disregards all of the boundaries that we might even set up to protect someone. Trouble is inconsiderate of age, of gender, of anything. And your race doesn't make you immune to trouble. Whatever your level of education
trouble still visits you.
Amen.
And so we've we saw last week that obviously then this is a subject matter that should be important to all of us, because
Amen.
None of us in this room or none listening to my voice are immune from dealing with trouble. Real quickly, you might remember what we saw last week is that trouble followed David before he was an adult, right? We saw that he experienced trouble in his family when his father misjudged him, didn't think he was qualified. He experienced trouble with his brothers that disrespected him when he came, even to fight Goliath. They disrespected him. He wasn't qualified. He experienced trouble in nature. You remember that? He said that he had killed a lion and a bear that had come to attack his father's sheep as he was a shepherd, and certainly experienced trouble with his enemies as he had to do, with the Philistines and with Goliath.
Amen.
We saw last week that not only did David experience trouble before he was an adult, he experienced trouble after he was adult.
Amen.
King Saul was a plague.
Yeah.
It was such an enigma. It was such a bizarre to see David having been sent to the king to help him and to provide so much help, and then for the king to flip and become envious and jealous of David and pursue him in rage. And so he had experienced trouble from King Saul and from his family members. You might remember as a polygamist, right? He had all these wives, and there's trouble. There's a reason that God has set up marriage to be one man and one woman. You can't do better than God's wisdom.
Amen.
You see, the people back in this time thought that when you had lots of, a man had lots of money, he could afford lots of wives. But it doesn't matter how much money you have. God still knows that one man needs one woman.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Regardless, the amount of money cannot change that principle. What? Because God set it up and he knows best, right?
Amen.
And so his wives and the children from these wives caused problems. You remember all of the problem that came from his children, even to find that Absalom was the one that drove him out of the very monarchy. Again, trouble from his enemies all around, and then ultimately we talked about the trouble he had within himself as he yielded to, right, the temptation for adultery and the temptation for murder. I'm just trying to paint the picture for you that this is a man who is what? Familiar with trouble.
Amen.
And so you don't need to feel that you're so weird because trouble has followed you all your life.
All right.
Trouble has followed every person
Amen.
All their life.
Amen.
Saved or unsaved.
Yes.
No one is immune to trouble.
Amen.
Just because your package was different than mine does not mean that my trouble is any less than yours or that yours is any more than mine, right? Yes?
Amen.
And so everybody in this room has and will experience trouble.
Amen.
So that's the only reason I'm addressing the issue. I don't address matters that have no relevance.
Yeah.
Okay? So, then lastly, I want to say this, that we see that trouble then had followed David all the way to his bedroom. Even in Psalm 6, he talks about how his tears, he's a shed tears at night on his pillow because of the trouble that's in his life. And again, you don't need to feel weird because you find yourself weeping about your issues at night. You don't need to feel weird that because you don't want people to know how much you struggle or how many, what your bucket load of troubles is like. But God has left us the scriptures for you to see you're not alone.
Amen.
You're not alone in dealing with the troubles. You're not alone in God helping people who have troubles.
Amen.
Yes?
Amen.
That's the only reason we're covering this.
It's all right.
Is because God has help for all of us in our troubles.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So, this is the outline we've kind of going to be using as we work through these this week and next week. We've already seen that trouble truly did follow David. And you remember when we looked at David's response, we saw that his initial response was prayer. And I want to rivet that in your heart again.
All right.
When trouble has finally cornered you in your bedroom, hopefully you haven't hustled your way, you know what I mean? People typically will, the natural inclination is to try to solve your issues until you get pinned in the corner.
All right, you said it good.
And so what I'm saying to you is by the time your trouble gets you in your bedroom, there's no more wiggle room.
All right, amen, you said it good.
It's no longer out in the neighborhood, it's not out in the school system, it's not the government's problem and this and this. Your trouble now has made its way to your bedroom.
Amen.
Uh-huh. Right. And so I'm saying that prayer should be your first response.
Amen.
Always.
Always.
Don't make it the last resort.
Amen.
So hopefully I've been praying all along the way, right? I'm to pray what? Pray without ceasing, right? And so as the trouble was developing, I was praying.
Amen.
Because I want to what? Be led by the Word and the Spirit. Yes. So even though trouble didn't stop, trouble doesn't stop just because you pray.
Amen.
Right. Look at Jesus. Yes. Trouble didn't stop pursuing Jesus. None of us have ever prayed like Christ.
All right.
Yeah. Regardless of how intense you've been in your prayer life, not one of us has prayed with the intensity of Christ.
Amen.
But it didn't stop his trouble.
Amen.
He even prayed, if possible,
yes,
let this cup pass. But what?
Yeah.
It wasn't possible.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that God couldn't. It was that the trouble needed to be finished.
Yes.
And every one of us needs to know, God does not inadvertently let us experience trouble. Any trouble that you experience has purpose.
Yes. Right. All right, now.
Therefore, the Bible would say, consider it all joy.
That's
right?
That's what he said.
When you encounter various trials, knowing what? That the testing of your faith produces endurance. But you've got to let endurance what? Have its perfect result. You've got to go all the way through the trial. Because on the other side of the trial, James says, you will come forth perfect and complete. You will be more mature.
That's what the word means.
When you get on the other side of the trial, you will be more mature than you were when you started.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And so there's always purpose in trouble.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, we have to cry. And,
oh, yes, you do.
So I'm not saying that stress is pleasant. But when you learn how to handle it, you become stronger.
Yes, Lord.
And what I mean is stronger in the Lord.
Yes.
You may wind up weak as far as you and other people are. That's what Paul had to learn. Didn't
uh-huh.
it?
Yes.
It's when I'm weak that I find my strength.
Yes.
So when I say strong, I don't mean you come out like a superwoman, Superman. Yes. I'm saying that when you come out stronger, what?
Yes.
In the Lord.
Yes.
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 That's what we all want to be. So we're good? And so we see that prayer is the first thing. And then all that I want you to see today is that, let me say it up front, and then I want to prove it to you.
All right.
I want to show you, after you finish talking to God, I shouldn't have said that crashly. Prayer is communication with God.
Yes, it is.
Okay? So what I want to show you is that after you have talked with God, now you're ready to talk with people.
All right, now.
In trouble. Mm-hmm. And here's what I want you to see. You cannot let trouble silence you. That's what the devil wants to happen.
Right.
He wants you to stay silent until you get out of trouble. God wants us to learn that you got something to say while you what?
In
trouble.
Amen. All right.
Follow? Okay, so the thing you want to look at today, as I call it in verses 2, 3, 4, and 5, is that there's exhortations for those who are looking on.
Yes.
Exhortation for those observing. You see, you've already been alone privately with God.
Oh, yes.
But you got to, you see, you got to leave. You can't stay in your bedroom.
Amen.
A lot of times we want to hang out there, but God is God wants us to learn to face trouble.
Yes.
Trouble may have driven you back in your bedroom, but you got to come out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
And you have to apply this to your own situation.
Oh, yes,
all of us
yes.
got the issues. Yes. You would love to stay back there and keep praying it out.
Yes.
But once you have been along with God and it's settled in, now you got to go deal with the problem. All right. So here's what I want you to see. Look at my statement. A believer has a word for people while you are in trouble. You have a word.
Yes.
And that's what God is working in you. You remember we looked at a song a while ago called My Testimony.
All right. Yes.
God is working something in you.
Oh, yes.
But you can't keep running from it. You won't have a testimony if, as the old song said, if you haven't had a test, you don't have a testimony.
Amen.
So you've got to have, if it's a testimony, it's something that you have come through, something that you've dealt with. Okay?
That's right.
And so when you have to accept the fact that God has something for you to say while you're in trouble.
Okay. Amen.
Oftentimes people don't think you got anything to say because your life's so messed up.
All right, then.
See, they looked at Christ the same way.
Amen.
If you are the Son of God, I mean, you're in a mess right now, Christ.
Yes.
If you are the Son of God, what?
Yes.
Why don't you come down? We'll listen to you if you come down.
Uh-huh.
We're not going to listen to you as long as you're up there in trouble. Mm-hmm. You see?
Mm-hmm.
That's the world's thinking.
Yes.
The only way I'll listen to you is you got to be like me. You got to be out, have everything working good. God is saying to us, that's not true. You got something to say when the bottom is falling out.
All right.
Now this is important.
Here. Mm-hmm.
Because see, right now, the churches that feel like they got the most to say have got it going on. Big congregations, lots of money, lots of this, lots of that. Well, look. One little virus.
Mm-hmm.
God's tearing all that down.
Sure is.
Yes, yes, he is.
Now, does the church have anything to say?
Mm-hmm.
Understand?
You said it good.
Do we shut up just because of the virus?
No.
No.
You do not.
No, that's just one thing. You don't understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, when I started, this wasn't my issue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just giving that as a book, as an example.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Because you have to take it on personally.
That's right.
You got your own issues. Do you shut down just because you got some trouble going on?
No, you don't. You say it good.
You get it? So a believer has a word for people while you're in trouble. You see, you don't have to wait until you get out. You got this Christian mentality. You don't really have anything to say until you've been out, until you deliver.
Uh-huh.
Well, look at Paul. Paul, in some ways, kind of felt the same way. If I could just get rid of this thorn, Lord, I'd be such a wonderful Christian.
Yeah.
But God said, no, you're thinking wrong, Paul. Not only am I not going to remove the thorn, you actually what? You need that thorn.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yes.
That thorn actually gives you something to say.
Amen.
Yes.
Because God didn't remove the thorn, now Paul tells us, now, well, I'd rather boast in my difficulties.
Yes.
That's how you and I can say,
yes,
when I'm weak,
yes,
then I'm strong.
Yes.
Why? Because he didn't make it easy for one man,
uh-huh,
to get out of his trouble.
Yes.
I'm telling you,
hallelujah,
God's working a message.
Yes, he is.
In us,
yes,
we're not trouble.
Yes, Lord.
But we got to stop the fighting and squirming.
All right.
And start learning.
Jesus.
Learning in the trouble.
Yes, Lord.
Don't think you're going to learn a lesson. I mean, you will learn something when it's over, but just things you need to learn while you're in it.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yes?
You said it good.
Like, just like a coach. Roger or anybody, taking somebody that you're teaching them to play a sport. Mm-hmm. Now, if that student thinks that the only way they're going to learn something is when it doesn't hurt, they're missing the whole point.
Amen.
Yes?
Amen.
You need to learn what? While it hurts.
Yeah. Yes, Lord.
That's where the learning is required.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You can't wait until you get to the locker room or to, you see what I'm saying, to the shower. Mm-hmm. You need to learn while we're out here, isn't it?
Yes.
So I can correct your mistakes.
All right.
You see? While it hurts. Not a game. Christian living is not a game.
Oh, no. Amen.
Pain is a part of it.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
Don't let pain shut you up.
All right.
Don't let pain embarrass you. I'm just getting way ahead here. But you see the point I'm talking about here?
Mm-hmm.
You've got something to say while you're suffering.
Yes, Lord.
Okay. So let's go at it real quick. Okay. I shouldn't say real quick, but I'm going to try to move. Because I want us to get this, all right? So the first thing is that you've got something to say to those who cause you pain.
All right.
And this is important.
Tell us.
And it's not what you, it's not the normal reaction. Don't go being vindictive. You see?
Amen.
That is so true.
You know how it comes.
It's true.
You know, none of us have forgot how to get people off our, out of our, you know,
uh-huh.
off our back.
Straight.
Right?
That's right.
But what we have to see is that really what God's teaching me?
No.
Is God teaching me to handle those that cause me pain the way I want to do it? Jesus said what? A legion, I can be delivered instantly. There's a legion of angels that can come.
Yes,
if
yes.
If that was the plan. So you and I need to understand what's the plan.
Yes.
Why this person?
Yes, Lord.
Why won't they get off? Why? You see, why?
Yes.
Why don't God remove this thing? You
yes.
understand?
Yes.
Rather than always looking for the easy way out.
All right.
What am I supposed to learn here?
Yes,
you get it? And so we've got something to say to those who cause pain.
Yes, Lord.
And the first thing I see is in verse 2. And this is the way I worded it. The first thing we have to say to those who cause us pain is that it is vanity to unjustly trouble a believer.
All right.
You see, some people don't understand that. They're all over you.
Yes.
Thinking that they're ultimately going to beat you down.
Mm.
And that they're going to win.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You're the one that has the truth.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So you need to tell them, this ain't going to work.
Mm-hmm. All right now. Yeah.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Rather than you all up in their face, you know the whole thing. Because you know how to get them to back off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, we got to get this.
Yes, Lord.
So, you see verse 2? David is done with his prayer. Now he says, oh man, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? You see?
Mm-hmm.
So the point is that it's vanity for you to keep unjustly causing me trouble. And Psalm 2, I believe it was, David talked about how the nations rage and find themselves doing coming against God, what, in vain. You can't win.
Amen.
And it's the same with you, my brother, my sister.
Amen.
They can't win.
They can't win.
Uh-huh.
Even if they kill you, they can't win.
All right now.
Yeah.
You understand?
I hear you.
We have to know what victory means.
Uh-huh. You said it good.
And so, and here's the thing that's what I want to leave you on this point. You remember when we looked at 1 John 2, as John is developing that, he says, do not or love not the world, nor the things of the world. Right?
Yes.
Then he says that for the things that are of the world, what desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, pride and possession, is not from the Father, from the world. But what? These things are what? Passing away.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
And so you see, oftentimes what God is doing at it in us when we're in trouble is he's making sure that that's not us.
Yes, God.
Do you really know how much problem, how much of a difficulty that house is causing you? And so God is going after that thing in your trouble.
Yeah.
Or this, you've been propping yourself up with things that God wants to show you. Don't you love that thing? Because it's what? It's passing away.
Yeah.
Now, the same thing is true for those who are trying to take it away from you or cause you trouble. God wants them to know that you can't destroy me by taking away my car.
Okay.
You can't destroy me by firing me.
That's right.
Amen.
But you see, you got to realize you can't love your job. Mm-hmm. Love your career.
All right.
You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's vanity. It's vanity for the world to continue to unjustly trouble a believer.
Yes.
That's a message that you have to be willing and what? Ready to deliver. The next message from the and because you know what David is saying here is that oftentimes people are going at your reputation.
Yes.
They're lying on you.
Yes.
They're slandering you.
Yes.
You see why? Because they think that I can take something from you if I get people to believe the lie.
Right.
But what you have to let them know is I can let that go.
Uh-huh.
You can't hurt me. Mm-hmm. If my employer wants to believe that lie, then I guess I didn't need that job.
All right, then. That's it.
You understand? And so they're going after your reputation, and that's what I'm saying to you. You've got to let them know that I can still talk to you.
Yes.
I know you stabbed me in the back.
Yes.
I know you did.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I can look you in the eye.
Yes.
And know that you just stabbed me in the back.
Oh, yes.
And tell you that you can't destroy me.
All right now.
Yes. We got a message. When folks think you're down and out.
Oh, yes.
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 Stand
it.
Yes.
Amen. All right. Amen.
And so it's vanity. That's the first message to trouble a believer. The other message that I see here in verse 3 is that because the Lord will eventually vindicate the believer.
All right.
Now you see, I get that from, you see verse 3? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself.
Uh-huh.
The Lord hears when I call to him. You see?
Yes, he does.
You've already prayed.
Amen.
You've already met with the Lord, and he's already assured you that he heard your prayer.
Yes.
And so all you need to learn to do now is to wait on the Lord.
All right.
And you need to help people know that I'm waiting on the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And that there's benefit in what? Waiting on the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Because eventually the Lord's going to vindicate.
What'd you say?
Listen to me. Whether in what? This life or what?
The next
life. Amen.
You've got to keep that in mind, brother and sister. Just because it didn't get settled from your perspective in this life doesn't mean that God won't settle.
Amen.
You're preaching.
Think of how many people get saved after folks die.
Yes. Have your way over there.
You know, it's a wonderful thing. I've seen it, and I'm sure some of you have before. You go to a hospital or somewhere where someone needs your help. You go there to what? Comfort them. You've done that.
Mm-hmm.
And you find out that hurting person does what? It seems like much. They give you as much comfort as you get, if not more. You understand? That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
When you learn
that you've got something to give even when you.
Yes, Lord.
Now, in this particular case, it's more about knowing what you have to share. I'm not saying that it's always words, but that's all we're talking. That's what we're particularly addressing here.
Yes.
You need to know you've got something to say to people who think you're down and out.
Amen. Amen.
Okay?
All right.
And particularly the ones that caused you the problem.
Yes.
That's specifically what we're going at here.
Yes.
So don't take on the world's attitude that I don't have nothing to do with you. I know you. See, that's not godly.
No.
Amen.
The very one that stabbed you in the back might be the one that God wants you to bring to Christ.
Amen.
Look at Paul.
Amen. Amen. I hear you.
Paul killed people's parents,
yes,
and grandparents. And yet God saved
him.
He was so awful that when God saved him, people couldn't believe. How could Paul be saved?
Preach it.
He was called a beast.
Yes.
The word used of him there, he was a wild animal. And so people are going to attack you like wild animals. But God wants you to be able to tame that wild animal.
All right, now.
How to speak to them in such a way. Let your words be what? Covered in grace.
Yes.
Be very careful and see what your words. That's it.
Everybody.
So, we've got something to say to those that cause us pain. But not only that, I want you to see that what we have to say especially is that we are reasoning with them to bring them to repentance.
Amen.
And unfortunately, that's not what most of us are thinking about when we're hurting.
No.
But that's what God wants us to think about.
All right.
That's what I'm saying. Rather than wallowing in self-pity, see, wanting to hang in your bedroom until you can sulk enough to get you lift your own head up, realize that God has a purpose for you when the bottom has fallen out of your life.
Yes, Lord.
You are still a vessel.
Yes,
that
yes.
can be you.
Yes, Lord.
And particularly with those that are your troublemakers.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Now I want to go even further. All of you know that I don't have siblings. But oftentimes, some of the worst troublemakers for the believer can be in their own family.
Amen.
Amen.
And those are the ones we want to write off. Now, I don't have siblings, but I got other ones. And it's tempting. You're just talking straight.
That's right.
It's tempting when every time you're there, every time you're around them. It's the same old thing.
Yes.
But could it be that God wants you to bring reason?
Yes.
You don't. It may just be one. We don't know. But He said, "Your light and what and salt." Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yeah. Amen.
So you see what David's doing? He's reasoning.
Yes, he is.
Reasoning with the hope that they've come to repent. We don't know for sure. But at least if they don't, you remember how Romans 1 said it? When God gets done, no one will have what? An excuse. And that's mainly because of you and I.
Yes.
The enemy does not expect you, when they know they have done you wrong, your enemy does not expect you to love them and pray for them.
That's right. You said it good.
When Job was done, you know the story of Job. All of his suffering, all of his pain. And when he finally got done complaining about it, and God finally got him to be quiet, then God told Job that if you want to see this all over,
It won't end until you have prayed for the accusers.
Right.
Pray for the ones, these are his friends that cause him what? The most pain.
Yes.
Until you have prayed for them.
Yes, Lord.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of thing I'm talking about.
Amen.
I don't want to keep hammering it, but you get
okay,
it, right?
Okay.
So that's the one thing. We got a message for those who cause us pain. The other message is for those who receive pain. Now, what do I mean by that? Realize that when you're in pain, you got other folks in pain too.
Amen.
Right?
That's
it's right. So tempting. You see, when you locked up in your bedroom, when you got your head covered up in your sheet and your head buried in your pillow, and you wrestling with all your issues, you forget that other people got issues too.
Amen.
Yes?
Yes.
It may not be exactly what you're going through, but we already established the fact everybody's going to deal with trouble, right?
Yes.
And so I'm saying that not only do you have a word for those who cause you pain,
mm-hmm.
you got a word for those who receive pain just like you.
That's right.
Now this is important. Okay? What is that? Well, I see the first word in verse, the first message anyway that we have for folks is in verse 4. And I summarize it like this. Before I read the verse, look at my summary. Here's what I say. You and I have to learn to use anger for righteous purposes and exercise self-control with our speech. So don't let someone drive you to anger, and the first thing you want to do is cuss them out. Because you haven't forgot how to cuss.
Nope.
You? But you notice what I said? Exercise what?
Self-control
with your speech. You don't have to. Just because you know how to, right?
Amen.
I know how to get high.
Right.
Trust me. I was good at it. And a whole lot of other things. But just because I know how, what, doesn't mean that what? I have to do it.
Yes,
right. Yes?
Amen.
And so, we've got to learn to use anger for right purposes. So you do realize that anger isn't sin. Yes?
Yes.
But there is sinful anger.
That's it. That's it.
So, now let's look at, you got verse 4? Be angry and what?
Sin.
Do not sin.
Amen.
Ponder in your own hearts, on your beds, and be silent. You see why I wrote the statement like I did? You got to learn to use anger for righteous purposes, and exercise self-control with your speech.
Amen.
You remember in 1 Corinthians 10, I think near the end of the chapter, Paul said, whether you eat or drink or what? Whatever you do, do all what? To the glory of God. Yes? I want to read these two verses for you. Can you turn to Colossians 3 and verse 7? I want to show you something real important. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. Look how it reads here in Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You see that? And so, in one place we're told, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Here it says, whatever you do, do it in what? In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Uh-huh.
So doing something in the name of Jesus is more than just tacking his name on it. When you say a prayer and you tack his name on it, that's not what the Bible means by praying in Jesus' name. Yes?
Amen.
So I do all things for his glory. By his authority. In other words, I'm functioning according to God's will. I just use my mouth the way God intended for it to be used.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the deal.
Uh-huh.
Now, I could have used it like I want to use it.
All right.
But God says, no. When you speak, I need to be glorified.
Yes.
you don't need to be the center of attention.
Amen.
Because see, when you finish saying what you got to say, the only person they're going to remember is what? Is who? You.
That's right.
But when you finish saying what I want you to say, the person they will remember is not you, but God.
Yes, Lord.
You understand?
Yes.
Because there ain't no way really should have responded that way. Mm-hmm. You understand?
I understand.
That's the deal.
It's all right.
There's another wonderful verse now. First Peter. First Peter chapter 4. It's two verses actually, and I want you to listen to them. They don't jump to conclusions right away. We're talking about spiritual gifts here, but listen. First Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. Are you ready? As each has received the gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplied. Now look at this. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You see that?
Amen.
Whatever you say and whatever you do, God has given you the gift and the ability to do that. And when you use his gift, it shall be for his glory.
Amen.
We need to think about that when we're ready to get up in somebody's face.
All right. Amen.
You understand?
Yes, Lord. It's very good.
This is really important.
Amen.
See, that's the reason I'm saying to you, you got something to say, but it needs to be what God wants you to say.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
All of us got something to say.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get done with it, what was the purpose?
Jesus.
All of us didn't think about that. If that was your last word before you died, would God have been glorified?
All right. Yeah.
You see? That's the deal.
Amen.
Amen.
It's not about us and our feelings. And
preach your Holy Spirit.
Trials, troubles, you see, come to glorify God.
Yes, Lord.
This is challenging. Because I'm not thinking about that when I'm in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm under pressure.
All right.
But God wants us to do it. He wants your mind to be what? Renewed.
Yes, Lord.
And that's my job today. That's all that I'm trying to do.
You're preaching.
And that's the reason I'm not preaching at you. Because I got to struggle what? Just like you do.
Amen.
We good?
Amen.
It's good. It's good.
Okay, as long as we're still on friendly terms. Speak, act, and be silent to the glory of God. Now, I got all that from verse 4. Be angry and what? Do not sin. Then he tells you to go on and learn to sit on your bed and ponder.
Yes.
And be silent, right? And so whether you speak, whatever you say, whatever you do, or even when you are silent, it needs to be what? For the glory of God.
Right.
Anger, I wrote it another way. Anger should never be used for selfish reasons. I know that may take you a little while to digest that. Because as God was beginning to unfold this to me last night, I really had to think this through.
It's all right.
Anger is a good thing when it's used for God's purposes.
Amen.
But I should never use anger to benefit me.
All right then.
See, that's the reason I called it use anger for righteous purposes. You understand? For righteous purposes. Okay. Well, we're about done. The last thing that I want to address
is in verse 5. So can you turn there? And the point I want to make is that we must continue to worship God and trust Him with the outcome of our situation. Now, I get that in verse 5. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. What's your point, Brother Willie? My point is this. God is worthy of worship regardless of our circumstance.
Amen.
Would you agree with that?
Yes.
God is worthy of worship whether you're rich or poor.
Amen.
God is worthy of worship whether you are young, what? Old. He's worthy of worship whether you are healthy or sick.
Amen.
God is worthy of worship whether you are honored or humiliated. So the point here, when he says offer right sacrifices and continue to trust in God, just continue to worship God and trust Him. With the old proverb, right? Proverbs 3, what? Trust in the Lord, what? With all your heart. Stop squirming. Stop trying to figure it out. Just keep worshiping God and trusting Him. With the outcome. And you say, oh, that sounds so good.
Is it true?
Yeah, it does sound good, but the challenge is doing it.
Amen.
Because this is not a suggestion. God is not just suggesting things to us.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, God bless you. You've been patient. So let's just kind of pull it all together here. And I'll let you go. Brother, sister. We must prepare ourselves for the troubles that God brings or allows to come into our lives. Prepare ourselves for the troubles that He allows to come into our homes and even to our bedrooms. We must prepare ourselves now before the trouble comes. Because when the trouble comes, there's nowhere to hide. So you've got to be prepared before it comes. We must prepare to represent the Lord well. Represent Him well while we are in our trouble. Be a good ambassador for Christ when your circumstances are messy. Be a good ambassador for Christ when your circumstances are humiliating and degrading. When your circumstances are shameful and dishonoring. Still be a good ambassador for Jesus Christ. We must be good ambassadors when trouble comes from friends. Good ambassadors when troubles come from family members. Good ambassadors for Christ when troubles come from co-workers or classmates or neighbors. When trouble comes from church members or the government or employers. When trouble comes from the school system, wherever it comes, still be good ambassadors. Good ambassadors when people go after your reputation with exaggeration. People go after your reputation with termination and with exasperation. They go after your reputation. Go after your reputation with litigation and with aggravation and with slander and lies and all manner of evil. You still must be a good ambassador.
Amen.
We must be ready to give an answer to our adversaries.
Yes, Lord.
I'm saying that we still have something to say to our adversaries. When you're in trouble, we can still speak out of our pain and misery.
Yes.
What I'm trying to convince you of. Regardless of how low you may feel, if you're a Christian, you have something to say.
Oh, yes.
God always has a reason for our trouble. Always has a reason for our trials. Always have a reason for our tests and tribulations. We can and we must speak for the Lord while we are suffering. We must be willing to make an appeal to our persecutors.
Yes.
Make an appeal to our enemies. Make an appeal even to those that hate us.
Yes.
We can and we should reason with them while there's yet time.
Amen.
Some of you might remember Virginia told the story of those of us who were with her at the time. She had an antagonistic supervisor. Remember that? Prayed about it for weeks and weeks and months and months. And looked like there was just not going to be any relief. But she didn't buck the system. She could have fussed and cussed and all of that. But she waited on the Lord. Y'all remember the story?
All right now.
It was tragic, but
This lady said, what was a heart attack?
A stroke.
Stroke. Okay. And she was moved out of the way. Okay. Now, think of how miserable it would have been if Virginia had been an ugly employee as a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. God knew what he was going to do with that supervisor.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And you can apply it to any situation.
That's right.
Your family members, or, you know, whatever the case may be. I'm telling you, God knows what he's going to do.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
He just wants us to learn to be what? Good ambassadors.
Yes, amen.
Wherever the problem is coming from, be a good ambassador. Appeal with them. We can and we must reason with them while there's yet time. Reason with foolish people, attempting to show them the vanity of their ways. Reason with them. Reason with foolish people to repent while they have time. Like Jesus pleaded with his persecutors. He pleaded with his murderers. Father, you know the story. What?
Yeah.
Forgive them. They know not what to do.
Jesus.
I'm telling you, Christian, most of your persecutors have no idea what they're doing. They don't like you because you're a Christian. They don't realize they can't win.
That is right.
They don't realize how much grace God has given them. They don't realize that it's God who's keeping their heart ticking.
Yes.
It's God who's, you said they don't realize, but you do. And God wants you to be the truth bearer.
Yes, amen.
While there's time.
Yes, Lord.
Their life like yours is in what? Is in his hand.
Yes.
That's right.
But you remember God told the prophet, if you warn them, and they don't repent and change, the blood is on what? On their own head.
That's right.
But if I told you and you don't warn them, their blood is on your head.
That's right.
That's all I'm saying. God already knows what he's done. He said that he created the wicked for their day, for their purpose.
Yes.
And you don't know whether God's going to save or condemn.
That's right.
You just know that you are in that situation as an ambassador for Christ.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yes.
Whether it's in your house or whatever it is.
I don't mean to keep belaboring the point, but you get this, you see it.
Yes.
But not just for foolish people. We don't just have a message for foolish people. We have something to say to believers who are in pain just like we are. We can encourage other believers in the midst of our own misery. We can bring encouragement. Yes? We can encourage other believers to be still. Encourage other believers to what? Wait on the Lord. Encourage other believers to what? Be angry, but sin not. Encourage other believers that God is worthy to be worshipped when you're hurting. God is worthy to be worshipped when you can't see your way through. God is worthy to be worshipped when you're lonely. He's worthy to be worshipped when you've been lied on. Worthy to be worshipped when you've been misunderstood. Worthy to be worshipped when you're unemployed. Worthy to be worshipped when you're sick. When you're broke, when you're hungry, God is worthy to be worshipped. Worthy to be worshipped when your marriage is falling apart. Worthy to be worshipped when your church is a mess. He's worthy. It doesn't matter what the issue is. He's worthy. Worthy to be worshipped. That's your message.
Yes, Lord.
No matter how you're hurting, God's still worthy.
Yes, he is.
He's still, and somebody needs to hear that from you.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
If you can worship God from where you are,
yes, Lord.
Yes.
Surely I can.
Yes, Lord.
You understand?
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus said, if you don't cry out, if you don't, you know what the rocks will.
That's right.
That's what he said.
We've got to learn to speak for the Lord.
Lord,
that's right.
Lord.
Stop being little spoiled children.
That's it.
Always complaining about how bad we have it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Learn to be thankful.
Yes.
Do you really believe that God is good?
Yes, he's good.
I know people like to sit in those songs. God is good, world. See, if that's true, Jesus. Then you need to be real about that.
Amen.
He's good when I'm broke.
All right.
Then. He's good when I'm home. See, it's not. See, you don't just go tell somebody else to broke that God's good. He's good when I'm broke too.
Yeah, right now.
Yes.
Amen.
It's not just when you're hungry, God is good. He's good when I'm hungry too.
Yeah.
Right?
Reckon.
So not just when I visit you in the hospital and I'm telling you God's good, he's good when I'm there too, when I'm sick.
All right.
That's right.
Yes?
Yes. You said it good.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. All right.
He's the same.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, he is.
And he wants us to learn to be the same. That's all I'm saying. We got to stop bouncing around with circumstances. Depending on how you catch me as to how I'm going to be. That's wrong, Christian.
Amen.
Right. Encourage. Believers when trouble tries to keep them from sleeping. Encourage them that God is still worthy to be praised. Therefore, my brother, my sister, you have got something to say to people.
Amen.
In the midst of your trouble. You have a message from the Lord. Y'all remember that song? I have a message from the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See, everybody know that song. Uh-huh. Do you?
Amen.
Do you still have that message when it's bad, when it's hard? You see, we read these stories about these first century Christians that would go out into the arena to be eaten by lions. What were they doing? Singing and praising.
Yeah.
Why? They have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
Nero was taking Christians and dipping them in tar, hanging them up on a pole and using them for light at night. Flesh burning to crisp. And they praised the Lord while they died. They had a message from the Lord.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
When he tied Christians between horses and have them ripped apart. And they serve the Lord. We sing that old song, I will serve. I will trust in how long?
Until I die.
See, all those songs are easy to sing. I will praise the Lord until I die. Yeah. But see, this is what I'm saying is that we have got to learn that God is worthy and that we've got a message. And that's really... I really, really, really didn't intend for this to be that long, but I'm just wanting you to see that this is my message from the Lord for you. Mm-hmm. He gave it to me, and I've been wrestling with it, and so now you know.
Amen.
And I hope you'll wrestle with it as well. If you're not a Christian, I'm saying to you, you can't keep hiding.
Amen.
You can't keep hiding. You're going to have to deal with trouble just like everybody in this room.
Amen.
You need to know that the Lord is your refuge.
Amen.
And
yes. Yes, he is. Yes.
You need to know that. Not sing it, not read it on some program. You need to know for yourself.
Amen.
That the Lord is your refuge.
Yes, Lord.
And so if you haven't been brought to peace and reconciliation with Christ, you need to do that today. Trouble is all around us.
Amen.
Yes?
Yes, it is.
And trouble basically has visited everybody's bedroom in this room.
Amen.
Came right from it. Lord, I want to thank you for these few minutes that we spent together. Would you please take these feeble words of mine and use them for your glory? Bring up someone to that place of peace and help every Christian here, every Christian under the sound of my voice,
to know that you have given them a message and a word for other people.
Yes.
Help us to be good and faithful ambassadors for Christ as long as we live. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, God bless you.